Welcome into a brand new episode of Bottom Line Baseball. I'm Alex Fuse. Sitting across from me is Jackson Ryan. It's always great to be with all of you on this great Friday morning. It is now 6 days away from opening day, which should be a national holiday. And I think this might go down as the most anticipated Major League Baseball season in the history of our country.
No, yeah, for sure. And opening day is just special because you get the atmosphere of the crowd. You know, hopefully there'll be some teams having more capacity than others, depending on state and local, you know, restrictions. But opening day is something special, and I cherish it a lot.
It's going to be just such a fun year. It's going to be interesting to see how players respond to that 162 difference. It's 102 more games than what was played in the year 2020 for obvious reasons. But again, I think this is going to be a year that are going to test people. I think you're starting to see it now in spring training where pitchers are struggling up to this point, or, you know, some injuries popping up. And I mean, that's going to be something that kind of unfortunate. That's the unfortunate of this year that you're going to see, because we don't really know. We can't really say, well, back in that year, they only played 60 games. So this is how players respond this way. Like, it's just never happened before. So we don't know how the players are going to react to playing 60 games and then the next year playing a full season.
Yeah, no, and you have to have a deep 40-man roster. You're going to have injuries, and you're going to need to have guys step up. That's why clubs, you know, are always looking for extra pieces that they can have to be as successful as they can be. And having a lot of pitching is going to be very key this upcoming season.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. And pitching is always, as you always say, Jackson, and it's so true, right, where it's the biggest piece to a championship team. You need pitching, good defense, and timely hitting. Those are your three keys to a World Series championship ring. And I think this year in particular, though, the microscope is going to be on the depth, not just talent level, but just the depth and durability to pitching staffs in general.
And that's why this spring training, too, is so vital. You know, you have guys being built up, not just your major league spring training, which is now going to be opening day coming up in 6 days, but also your minor league spring training and alternate sites are going to be a big deal, because, you know, if you have a guy that gets hurt, you know, whether it's his first or second start, you can call that other guy up right away. And so, you know, this spring training in April for minor leaguers is going to be a big deal, especially with the big league club.
So we had some not good news come out of the White Sox camp on Thursday. Eloy Jimenez is going to miss 5 to 6 months with a ruptured pectoral tendon. And it's a brutal, brutal loss to the White Sox. I think that is going to be a challenge for this White Sox team, especially in that division. So I think you're going to see other teams in that division, the Twins, the Indians. And as you know, Jackson, I predicted that the Kansas City Royals are definitely a shot to make the postseason in 2021. And I predicted that they were going to be a second wildcard team. And now you can even make more of a case for the Kansas City Royals to make a significant impact in the American League Central in 2021.
No, you can, especially with their pitching desk with Singer. You know, Coart will be up, and, you know, Lynch and Bubich, who was there last year. And, you know, you have Bobby Witt Jr. and Kyle Isbell that will be on their way up, most likely this year for Bobby Witt Jr., probably next year for Kyle Isbell. And so they're going to be even better now that Eloy Jimenez is out, but it also helps the Twins, you know, and it helps the Indians as well. And Detroit's going to be better, so that division's going to be a lot better than what people think.
I'm excited. I'm intrigued to see how the Twins do, right? They're always that interesting team. They always seem to make the postseason, the playoffs in some way, but always struggle. Can't get the big win. Can't get that timely hitting, right? Or a little bit of both. So I think the Twins are kind of that, no pun intended, wild card team. You just never know what you're really going to get. Because I remember, this is a few years ago, I can't remember the exact years, but they were coming off, they made it to the postseason. I think it was the year they made it past the wild card game, And then the next season, they completely missed the playoffs. So it's like you really don't know what you're going to get when it comes to the Minnesota Twins.
No, you really don't. And now, you know, not having Odorizzi, him going to Houston's a bigger loss. And, you know, you got to have guys like Berrios step up in that rotation. But the Twins have just never got past the Yankees. It seems like the Yankees have been their nemesis forever, going back to 2009 and even years before then. And so, you know, for the Twins, they got to figure out how to get over the hump. And it always seems like they get in the playoffs, but they just don't have the pitching and the relief pitching to get it done.
Mm-hmm. Let's get into – we're talking about pitching, and you brought up the name, the Astros. I think the biggest news that came out of this past week as well was the contract extension, Lance McCullers and Houston, 5-year deal. I'm a really big fan of Lance McCullers. I think he's – I mean, he's going to have big shoes to fill when the eventual retirement of Justin Verlander comes, but he's going to be that ace in Houston, it seems.
No, yeah, for sure. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Lance and what he can bring is that, you know, especially a three right now in a rotation, but he's going to have to step up and be that one or two, you know, along with Odorizzi this upcoming year without Verlander. So
are they going to keep Greinke, do you think?
Ooh, I don't think they will. I think he'll go somewhere else eventually. But I wouldn't be surprised if they try to sign Greinke to another, you know, 1 or 2 year deal because right. Zach's been very productive for the Houston Astros and he's been very stable and just throwing pitching every start.
Well, that's the problem that Houston is going to run into because just with every good team, right, and you have those core pieces. Look what happened in Boston, right? You win the World Series in 2018, and so they win the World Series in 2018, and look at the roster that we have in front of us today with the Boston Red Sox. I think maybe Jackie Bradley Jr., no more, Andrew Benintendi, no more, Mookie Betts, no more. These pieces, right? I mean, Brock Holt, no more, but that's, you know, but a piece of that team, right? And I think you look at the Red Sox roster today, and I think it's really Xander Bogaerts, Devers,
Chris Sale,
and maybe Eovaldi.
Yeah,
Eovaldi was a huge piece in that World Series. So yeah, Eovaldi is still there, but that's about it. I'm sure we're missing a few names, but I mean,
that's why your window is so small to win a championship.
Yeah, because you can't
have
pay
that, when you have that window, you have to capitalize on it. Mm-hmm. Just look at the Washington Nationals, for instance. They lose Anthony Rendon. Huge piece that goes to the Los Angeles Angels. Now they're trying to figure out who your third baseman is because for the Nationals, it was either sign Strasburg or sign
Rendon.
Look
at the Royals in 2015.
Strasburg.
You know, they weren't able to keep Moustakas. They weren't able to keep Hosmer. You know, so I think those are huge pieces, right? I mean, even at that rotation that the Royals had their bullpen, right, they weren't able to keep Davis and, you know, those core pieces to that championship team in Kansas City. So, I mean, the Yankees are kind of just that anomaly in the fact, well, I guess now the Dodgers too, right, that they win a championship and they're able to keep them because they can just simply pay for them. But the problem that Houston is going to run into now, as they mostly still have that core team from that 2017 championship team, you know, the Altuves, the Correas, the Bregmans, Verlander's still there, he'll be coming back. And so they still have the majority of the core still there. But now we get into the topics of, okay, well, are we going to extend Correa? Are we going to – we just got McCullers for 5 more years. So now where does Houston go? Can they keep Greinke? Can they keep these players? And these are going to be when you don't have the minor league system that the Padres have or that the Rays have or these other teams have to replace the players – to like move, like what the Rays are doing are smart, right? And this is where I'm a big Rays fan in this aspect. They know they can't pay the players almost seems like before they know they need to, right? Like they knew, like when Blake Snell was going to be a free agent, they knew they weren't going to be able to keep him. So they traded him to get prospects from San Diego. Not huge prospects, but still.
But kind of going back to like what you're talking about with prospects, you know, if you hold on to prospects too long, eventually they are prospects. So when you have the opportunities to get the Justin Verlanders, to get whoever
right.
you need,
then
you need
can
to go out and do it. And so that's why Houston doesn't have the overall prospects today that they did say, 4 years ago, because they went out and traded for Garrett Cole.
And
they
got
traded
a championship team
Verlander.
Out of that, though. That's the thing.
And they
you
won a championship. And so if you win a championship, no, nothing else matters in the game.
Right.
You know, nobody cares if you don't win a championship. And so at the end of the day, they did what they had to do. And, mm-hmm. you know, talking about Correa, we'll see if they sign him. I know they offered a six-year, $120 million offer, which he declined. But Carlos Correa hasn't played a full season yet. He's always been healthy. So, you know, we'll see how much money he thinks he's going to get. But I don't know if he's really worth 6 years when he hasn't played a full season yet.
Well, I think Correa is going, especially, I think the biggest driving factor in the market for Correa, like, let's say the Mets and Lindor tomorrow sign a huge extension, right? The market for Correa goes through the roof. And I think it's going to be very difficult for Houston, basing off of what they first offered him, right, the 6 years, $120 million, it's going to be almost impossible to get him back there. And I know you asked me before we started recording this where I think Correa is going to go. And I'm going to tell you where he's going to go. If Houston doesn't give him, let's say, you know, Mr. Crane meets with Correa tomorrow and he goes, how much money do you want? And Correa says, basically give him the blank check. And if Correa says, this is how much, and Crane says, okay, and then they do that, okay, then that's fine. If that doesn't happen, and let's say Correa wants to go somewhere else, he's going to the Phillies. Because Dave Dombrowski will sign anyone that if he believes in Carlos Correa, and I love Didi Gregorius, don't get me wrong, but Carlos Correa, if you get Carlos Correa to a 6 or 7 year deal, matching up to see where Lindor goes, then he's your shortstop.
You
he's the youngest in the shortstop class.
Bryce Harper with Carlos Correa in the same lineup. But also, if you're the Astros, you got to think about signing Alex. They already did sign Alex Bregman, but you know that's also your core piece of your future, I believe. So,
right.
You know,
Altuve still has years,
day.
Obviously. He's not going anywhere. It's not like he's falling off a cliff. You know, I still believe in him as my face of the franchise in Altuve.
And they've re-signed Yuli. Yuli's very productive mm-hmm. first baseman. So they have their pieces there that they need, mm-hmm. and they're expecting big years from Kyle Tucker and
right.
others. And so they're going to be very good mm-hmm. again. And they may
Your
win Don's that division.
Still there. And
they'll be right there to win that. That could be winning that division this upcoming year.
I mean, that division's a crapshoot, as you know. I mean, between those three teams, right, the A's, the Angels, and the Astros, those are the three teams that have – what it takes to win it. So we'll see what happens. I mean, that's a catchphrase, right? That we should just be on a t-shirt. We'll see what happens, because in baseball, you just don't know. I mean, what we could be talking about today, everything kind of, I mean, we see things pop up, trades happen, injuries happen. We just don't know. So when it comes down to it, from when we're recording this today, we're obviously giving our best opinions and analysis of what's sitting in front of us, and this is the best analysis we can give. Is I think the Central was truly between two teams, the White Sox and the Twins yesterday. Today, I think you can't sit here and tell me the White Sox are going to win that division or the Twins are going to win the division. I don't think you can really say with complete confidence one team in the Central is going to win a division, and you can't in the West. I think the only division in the American League that you can kind of get away with that is saying in the American League East, is saying the Yankees are going to win that division. That's really the only division in the American League that you can have complete confidence in saying, yeah, that Yankee team.
Or they should win that division.
They should, right, 100%. Like if you – you know, look at the roster on paper, right? I think the Yankees, and then that's the challenge, right? So, like, in the National League, I'm sitting here thinking, well, you know, the National League East is going to be up for grabs. We don't know how the Mets are really going. I mean, on paper, they're probably a 92-win-plus team on paper.
You just don't know how they're going to gel, because they're
right.
either going to be, like we talked about last episode, either like the Padres in 2014, or they're going to be really good like the New York Yankees in mm-hmm. 2009. And you just don't know yet. And also, how good is Miami going to be? Are they actually a real team,
right.
or are they just a 60-game sprint team? And same as Atlanta, because I really like Atlanta's pitching with Max Fried, you know, Ian Anderson. So they're going to be really good.
And then, right, I mean, you got the Braves, you got the Mets, Marlins are iffy. And then you move to the National League Central, right, And even that division is up for grabs. I mean, the Cubs have a sneaky good lineup, in my opinion. You really don't know what you're going to get when it comes with the Cardinals yet. How does Nolan Arenado look? How much can the Cardinals rely on Ueno and Molina?
And this may seem crazy, but how good is Arenado too? Because maybe, you know, his numbers in Colorado were a lot different than on the road. So, you know, you just don't know how good. I mean, yes, he's really talented, but you just don't know how, if he's going to transition well from Colorado, which is a hitter's ballpark.
Who do you think the best third baseman in the game right now is?
I don't know. Put me on the spot. I really, and I, this may sound like I'm favoring, but I really like what Alex Bregman brings to the game. I don't know if he's the best third baseman, but he's going to be very productive, play every day, and he's going to hit really well.
Okay. I think he's in the top five. Matt Chapman,
yep,
defensively.
Another one. Defensively.
One of the best.
Totally forgot about him.
And, man, I think Nolan Arenado, when it comes down to the nitty-gritties of it, he's the number one. I mean, between – again, I mean, you bring up a decent point, right, in the obvious fact that we haven't seen Nolan Arenado hit.
And in the postseason, Arenado hasn't done great.
Well, he hasn't really had too much opportunities. I mean, he can make the same case for Mike Trout, right? Well, he hasn't had at the moment. But it's like, is that Mike Trout's fault that the Angels haven't played in the postseason? No. I mean, you can't read too much into the fact of who the best third baseman is. But Nolan Arenado is definitely my top third baseman. And then Bregman's in the mix, and then Chapman's in the mix. But defensively, too, Gio Urshela gets slept on. And Urshela can make plays like nobody can. I'm excited to see. I mean, he completely took away the job from Miguel Andujar. And Andujar was, when he came up and before he had Tommy John surgery, he was one of the most talked about prospects for the New York Yankees. And he completely took away the starting job. And the story that Urshela has being released by the Indians and then really going nowhere were the Blue Jays, and to come to the Yankees to win a starting third base job, like, third basemans in Yankees history. I mean, you look at Greg Nettles, captain. I mean, you can just go down the list. Alex Rodriguez played how many years at third base, right? So you go down the list, and this guy who gets released and has this long historic career of being overlooked as this, you know, extra guy in a team, basically, to come into the Yankees organization and to win a starting job at third base in the Bronx, he's done phenomenal.
And that's a hard place to play, New York, especially in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. But, you know, talking about the Yankees, they've just got to get over the hump, too, mm-hmm. of getting to the World Series, because I feel like they've been in the ALCS or ALDS, you know, and they ended up losing in Tampa. Garrett Cole pitched a great game mm-hmm. at Petco Park, but you got to get that win. And, you know, we'll see how they do. And winning a division's not good enough, you know, for Cashman, and it's not good enough for their ownership, and so they've got to get to the World Series this, you know, this year, most likely.
It's going on 11 years since the last championship, and if you're in the Yankees organization, I mean, you can sit here and say, well, since 1995, they have not played under 500. Well, that's great, but in the last 11 years, when you're the New York Yankees, right, and you say you haven't won a World Series championship in 11 years, that stings to a lot of fans and, of course, the players. I guarantee you Aaron Judge thinks he should at least have one championship. I guarantee you Jeter thinks he should have at least won one more championship after the 2009 series. Mm-hmm. So I think when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, there are players, and I know Garrett Cole didn't go to the Yankees just to make the millions. He went to the Yankees to win a World Series. So when you got guys on the team and you got players that are wanting, do you think DJ LeMahieu decided to stay with the Yankees just because he likes the ballpark there? If he just liked the ballpark there, I guarantee he would have went back to Colorado. he wants to win a championship there. And so I think that's where it goes into where the Yankees, like you said, just got to go over the hump.
Yeah, no, they've got to get over it. And, you know, how they would do that is by having another ace like Severino come in and, you know, be healthy and productive this upcoming year. He's going to be a big addition for them along with Kluber, because Kluber only threw, you know, one inning last year for Texas Rangers. So, you know, if Kluber can go back to the form he was, you know, 2-3 years ago, they're going to be really good. And
full year of Gerrit Cole excites me mm-hmm. as a baseball fan.
Well, he's a bulldog. Gerrit Cole's a bulldog. You know what you're going to get every time he goes out. And so, you know, in that division too, Toronto's not going to be terrible. They're going to be pretty good with that offense.
They
that
also
they
have an injury bug going on. I mean, George Springer is going to be missing. He's going to miss opening day. I mean, he has, I believe, a hamstring injury or a quad injury. So that's going to keep him out for a while. So, I mean, that Blue Jays team is getting the injury bug right now. So, again, that division, I mean, the Red Sox could be sneaky good too. I mean, I truly think the Red Sox are going to be better than people expect. I mean, they can't be much worse than they were last year. So, do I think they're going to be better than they were last year? Yes. It's a full year under Chaim Bloom, and Bloom is just an incredible mind. And to see how he works and how he worked back in Tampa, I think you would be understated with the fact to say that he can't be successful in Boston. I think he's been handed the cards, and he's just trying to deal with the cards he's been dealt the best way he can. Do you think he wanted to trade away Mookie? No. Do you think he wanted to trade away Benintendi? No. But he was handed the cards he was dealt, and he's trying to do the best he can with those playing cards. So I think if anyone can do it, it can be Bloom to kind of move things around. So, and the interesting thing with Boston is you look at the last three World Series that they won, 2007, 2013, and 2018, all three completely different looking teams.
But they all had an identity too. They
oh, right, but a different identity. A different yeah. identity, too.
But they got to figure out their identity, right. too, with Alex Cora now coming back in. And,
yeah.
You know,
what a great guy to have trying to figure out their new identity. I mean, they got to find it, you know, so.
But anyway, and they need Chris Sale. If they're going to go anywhere, they've got to get Chris Sale yeah. to do good. And same as Eovaldi, because if those two don't do anything, then they're going to be sellers at the deadline, and they're going to end up trading both of them.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So, overall, I think that was the biggest news of the week. Really not too much.
Yeah, and then one more thing real quick, too. The Baltimore Orioles had, you know, Matt Harvey make their roster. So,
I'm a fan.
He should help out a little bit.
I'm a fan of Matt Harvey, and I think, I mean, he really struggled in Kansas City, and I really hope – I mean, just think for a second, right? Like, I'm an optimistic person, and I'm thinking, okay, so they got Felix Hernandez and Matt Harvey. And it's like, man, imagine those two having a great season. Now, obviously, you're not going to get the Felix Hernandez of 10 years ago, but still, like, a Felix Hernandez who maybe could figure out who he is, what is his identity right now. So I think that is going to be an interesting team to watch. Some prospects coming up to be excited about.
The catcher from Oregon State is going to be a good one.
Adley Rutschmanson.
Yep,
So, I mean, I think he
Double-A probably.
Yeah, so maybe come up halfway through the season depending on where Baltimore stands. Exciting things happening in Baltimore for sure.
Yeah, just another episode will be out Monday, and we'll be getting on. You want to talk about who we'll be getting on Monday?
Yeah, Justin Toscano, who's a Mets beat writer. So Justin will be on Monday, so we'll talk to him. What has he heard about the potential Lindor contract extension? Mets, time's kind of running out of that clock to possibly extend Lindor. And then if they don't, then they'll have a small period of time after the season before he officially becomes a free agent. And then I think it's going to be really tough for the Mets to extend him before he can actually test free agency. I think, as you know it, though, man, like, I just can't sit here and tell. Like, I just don't know what's going through the mind of Lindor, right? I can't say, well, it's going to be tough. Like, if he gets his number that he wants, you know, without testing free agency, I mean, he wants to stay in New York. I think it depends what happens, right?
It does depend on what happened because, you know, if they're really good, he'll probably sign a 5-6 year deal. But if they're not, he may say, hey, that's another place for Philadelphia to go in. And
yeah,
like you talked about with Dombrowski, to get Lindor. So we'll see how it goes, but he's got to have a good year, and the Mets have got to have a good year if they're going to go anywhere.
Look, Dave Moneybags has proved it time and time and again when it comes with him. I mean, look what he's done in Philadelphia since he's become in that position, in that role. I think he's now president. I think that's his official title. You know, it's those are all these different titles, but I believe he's president of the Phillies organization now when it comes to baseball ops. And I mean, he brought back Didi, and he made some few moves, brought back Realmuto. So he's not afraid to spend money, as we know, especially in Boston. Not afraid to spend money. He, some may say, buy championships, but he wins them. So, the name of the game is to win championships, and that's what he's known to do. That's his identity. He gets to a championship doing whatever it takes to get to that championship. So I'm intrigued to see what happens and what plays out over the next week leading up to opening day. But as you said, Jackson, opening day 6 days away from today. What a great time of year to be a sports fan, but also a baseball fan. So for Jackson, I'm Alex Hughes. Thank you for listening to this Friday edition of Bottom Line Baseball. We'll be with you again on Monday morning. Have a great rest of your Friday and enjoy some baseball this weekend.